Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We're on episode number
78.
78. That sounded like, what is that? Not Elmo, not Cookie Monster. It might have been Cookie Monster.
Oscar?
Or the garbage guy.
The garbage guy.
That's what it sounded like. Sorry.
Our garbage girl.
Oscar the Grouch. That's what that sounded like.
A little bit.
That's so funny.
Beautiful.
You know what that, like, what reminds me of? It's like, earlier this week, Elmo put a tweet out and he said, "How's everybody doing?" And everyone unleashed. Have you guys heard about this?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
This actually relates to Bhakti Yoga intensely, actually.
Okay.
So Elmo released this tweet that says, "Hey guys, it's been a long time. How's everybody doing?" And the internet just trauma dumped on that tweet and was like, "Elmo, this is not going well. This is..." Everyone was like having a rough time because it's Kali Yuga, you know? And everyone was just experiencing Kali Yuga. Full circle.
Wow.
You did. That was good.
That was a good connection.
Thank you so much.
That was great.
Thank you.
That was really good.
All right. We are on chapter 10, text number 6. Quick recap of the last episode, ladies.
Yes. So basically, Krishna was sharing all the qualities, not all, but some of the qualities that he has that we also have by
association.
The
qualities that we
derive. Yeah, all the qualities that we derive from him. And so he was talking about intelligence and knowledge and like freedom from doubt. And there's this whole list, and we went down each.
We took a while.
We spent 2 episodes on this.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, 2 episodes.
It's more than we thought we would have. We did go thoroughly through them, and it was really insightful. So check it out if you want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
And
great recap, ladies. Okay.
Love it. The invocation, please.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Wow, guys, ladies, that was really in sync.
That was. Like, we gave each other a look after, like, ooh, that was good.
Heard that. I was like, wow, that was really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
I think our microphones are, like,
crisper today.
Really crisp.
Thank you for donating to the Modern Yogi Podcast GoFundMe. It's crispy because of you guys. So
yes,
thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Yes. All right. So text number 6, chapter 10.
All right. The 7 great sages, and before them, the 4 other great sages, and the Manus, progenitors of mankind, come from me, Krishna, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them.
Okay, I zoned out. Can you say that again?
The 7 great sages, and before them, the 4 other great sages, and the Manus, who are the progenitors of mankind, come from me, Krishna says. Born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them.
Shama, what does progenitors mean?
I know, feel that's ready the for only this. Word that I can remember from that entire verse. And progenitor. Sorry, it's a funny word. Okay. It's a person or thing which a person or animal derives from. So an ancestor or a parent.
Okay.
For example, his sons and daughters were the progenitors of many Scotland's noble families. Many of Scotland's noble families. Anyways, you guys didn't need the extra sentence, but
that only confused me more.
it is an ancestor or parent. Okay. That is a progenitor.
Okay. So basically, Krishna, the Lord, he's giving us a genealogical synopsis of the universal population.
I'm sorry.
Is anybody else just, whoa, what? Can you say that again?
I'm sorry.
So Prabhupada's words is saying, he's saying the Lord is giving us a genealogical synopsis.
Oh, I thought that was your words, Shamali. And I was like,
I mean, I would have loved to take credit. I would have been like, yeah, I'm a genius. I know.
I was like, how does she even know what those words are? That's amazing.
I was really impressed with that sentence.
Very impressed.
I just had to say it was Prabhupada.
That was good. What is it?
The Lord Krishna with this text is giving us a genealogical synopsis of the universal population. So where did this whole material creation start? Because, you know, Krishna's in his spiritual world beyond all of this material creation. And he's saying, what started this all? How did he start it? And it all started from Krishna's mind. He thought it and it came to be, which is pretty far out. Because don't they say there's no difference with Krishna's names, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's form, his pastimes, his thoughts. So Krishna is so powerful, the most powerful. He can think something and it comes to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's super cool.
So wait, am I hearing this correctly? So Krishna thought of these first great progenitors and then everyone descended from these guys?
So the line is Krishna created Brahma with his mind.
Yep.
Brahma then created the sages that they speak about, the seven and the four. Right.
Gotcha.
And then from them was created the Manus. And I learned some time ago that the term Manu is like a...
Your brother-in-law?
Yeah, it's the name of my brother-in-law. But also refers to like mankind, like men. Uh-huh. So like the first men of the world were the Manus. And they were like very proper and they followed like strict... Like there's a whole scripture about like the laws of Manu. Right,
it's
like mankind. It's like the laws of mankind.
It's like the Hindu version of Adam and Eve,
kind of. I'd like Adam,
but everyone was
but
named
more
Manu.
In depth, I think,
but like, mostly Adam.
Yeah, okay. In this case, yeah,
yeah, got it.
But yeah, I think a lot more multi-layered and faceted because also we're not just talking about the earth; we're talking about the creation of all of the like the entire universes, not just Earth. So it's very multi-layered, a lot more in depth. And these great personalities lived within, we talked about yugas or the different ages. They lived within the first yuga, which would make sense why, Priya, you were saying they're very righteous, noble, upheld all sorts of great qualities that we kind of lost that in the age we're in nowadays.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to read a little bit about what Prabhupada says here.
Because he's
just kind of explaining it a bit. He goes, all these 25 great sages are known as patriarchs of the living entities all over the universe. There are innumerable universes and innumerable planets within each universe, and each planet is full of population of different varieties. Mm. All of them are born of these 25 patriarchs. Brahma underwent penance for 1,000 years of the demigods before he realized by the grace of Krishna how to create.
Right. And we brought that up before someone as powerful as Brahma had to pray to the Lord for guidance on how to move forwards. He went into deep prayer because when Brahma looked all around him, there was nothing but darkness and he was bewildered what to do. So we've brought that up before and saying what to speak of if Brahma is bewildered. Mm. We need prayer and guidance to achieve anything.
Yeah, and life. I know this is not the point of this verse, but is Prabhupada saying that there might be alien life? Because he's saying
100%.
Right? That there's multiple universes. Like we live in one universe, right? But if he's saying that there's multiple universes with multiple planets within each universe and each planet is full of population of different varieties, there's life on different planets.
Yeah, different kinds of lives and different planets.
For sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
I can believe in that. I can get behind that.
I mean, honestly, if you think about it, like demigods, what are they?
They live in different planets.
They're, what is an alien?
A soul of a different variety.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, just there's so many types of living entities out there.
I mean, hasn't the government already flat out said aliens exist amongst us? Isn't that like no secret? I feel like I've heard people say that
before. Well, the thing is like what they classify as alien is different than maybe what
Absolutely,
we're thinking. Because
yeah.
they're thinking, or like, oh no, they said UFOs are real, but UFO means unidentified object.
Flying object.
But
I thought they said also like beings, aliens exist. Like, and I'm not well versed on this topic of aliens, but
so Prabhupada said that there's different life on different planets.
Yeah, for sure.
Hi-oh. Okay, that's all I need to know.
That's all. Moving on.
That's it. So text 7, Shama.
Oh yes, text number 7. Krishna says, "One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this, there is no doubt."
So he's saying one who knows that I created all these people?
Yeah. one who is like really convinced of that I've done all of this.
Which is true. It's a huge mystic power and yeah. opulence to be right. able to accomplish something as populating all of the people and all of the planets and all of the universes.
With just your mind.
That's crazy.
And didn't we talk yes. about, we broke down the opulences, the six opulences of the Lord. And one is the greatest mystic, right? Mm. So this is one of his mystic, I think it was
Ooh,
mystic, right?
I like that. I will check for
but
you
But we
right
brought
now.
Up, not that long ago, the six opulences of the yeah. Lord that we all have them in this material world in different little quantities, fame, renunciation, this, that.
I don't know if it's mystic, mystic was it, but it was no? power, wasn't it?
So it's strength, fame, wealth. Wait, you guys count them.
Okay, strength.
Fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation.
Oh, not mystic. But I feel like mystic can be shoved under powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I yeah. mean, because, you sure. know, it's his For unlimited sure. power to create all of
yes.
this, right? And they're calling this one of his opulences. So, convinced of this opulence and mystic power. So they're here in this text categorizing mystic power like almost like separately, it seems. So of this opulence, maybe the opulence would be power. I don't know. One of the six.
Let's mm-hmm. go with
as
let's
well
power.
As his mystic power, as well as his mystic power or potency. Then if we're able to realize all of that, we won't have any more doubts. Mm. To be free from doubts. What a notion that is.
I know. That would be great.
That would be great. Yeah, it says, unless one's firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he can't engage in devotional service. Because I think when you truly understand Krishna's power, his magnitude, all of that, oof, you just want to surrender. You want to serve him.
Mm, yeah. yeah. I think Prabhupada also wants to like, there's two aspects of Krishna. There's like the aspect of humanizing, relatability, like he's our friend, he's our father, he's our lover. He's like all of these things that he could be that are very personable and easy to attain. Right. And then at the same time, we cannot forget he's the supreme personality of Godhead, right?
Right.
Like that he is incredible and has these qualities that we can't even fathom, right? So it's like a combination of remembering his potency and then also his reachability. I don't know if that's the right word. Yeah. You know what yeah, I mean? Yeah. So I feel like that's what Prabhupada's also kind of alluding to in the purport.
Right,
I feel this way sometimes when I'm in nature and I just like look out. I remember I was on, like we were on this boat in the summertime.
That sounds like an album cover. We were boat on a summertime.
Yeah, we got this opportunity to go on this boat and the boat was in the middle of like, what's that sea where Croatia is? I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know what it's called. It's like, I don't know, the water next to Croatia.
So what happened?
Anyway, so the point is like we were in the middle of nowhere. We docked next to a national park and it was Janmashtami. It was Krishna's birthday on that day.
Wow.
And we couldn't go into the city because we were too far away. And so we basically had to create a temple on the boat. And we were singing on this boat and because we were in the middle of nowhere, there was like thousands and thousands of stars.
Wow.
And we just like sang and chanted for Krishna's birthday underneath a blanket of stars. And you can feel Krishna's opulence in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
Like there
that.
Are moments in nature where you're just like, holy crap. Like there's divinity in this moment, you know what I mean? Because you see like the vastness of the universe and the stars and you could see planets and you're like, oh my God. Wow. Krishna, you're definitely real because I can feel like some sort of power in this moment. It was the Adriatic Sea. We were, were you Googling it?
Yeah, I Googled it for
we
you.
We were on the middle of the Adriatic Sea right next to Croatia and we were chanted up until midnight.
It was incredible.
And celebrated Krishna's birthday on a boat.
Oh, but you totally took me there. What beautiful imagery and that totally is his opulence. Yes.
It was incredible. I don't know how much you, I mean, I'm sure you remember, but I just remember you could smell the pine trees from where you were. And we were like more than 100 feet away from them.
From the national
park,
yeah.
But you can smell the pine trees all around you. The breeze was fresh air. The stars were so bright. I mean, it was just incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And it was Krishna's birthday and it felt so beautiful because we didn't have any instruments, right? We were just doing acoustic kirtan just to Krishna. Wow. And like, those are the moments where you're like, oh man, that's the moment where I was like fully convinced of Krishna's opulence and mystic power, 100% from this verse. You know what I mean? Like, there's those moments of nature are like, if you, if if you can take those moments, like, just go out and do it because you can feel the power of God.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No one like Krishna because he can create all of this. He himself is such an incredible figure. They say he's the greatest mystic. He has these six opulences in full. Everyone in this world has good qualities, some opulences in some degrees, some fame, some wealth, but he has everything. And all I love how you guys are connecting then seeing that sight in nature to admiring Krishna's opulence. Mm. That shows that you can just kind of lasso and connect everything to Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think nature is one of the greatest things we have as human beings. It's like Krishna's hand, like directly. Mm-hmm. And it's so magnificent and really untouched by humans. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a sunset, that's just Krishna.
Mm-hmm. You know, every night painted differently.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I love this line here. It says, generally people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? We're about to find out.
We're about to find out.
Text 8.
There's one final part of the next part. I had to flip through all the pictures, which was exciting, to get to the other side of text 7 in the Gita. Depending on the version, you have all the beautiful pictures there. But one part that says there are some opulences, some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord that we get to know that result in when we're firmly convinced of them, when we accept Krishna with faith, without any doubts, we're able to engage in this devotional service. And all this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. So we shouldn't, Prabhupada's basically saying, don't neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is, for by knowing the greatness of Krishna, we'll be able to be fixed in this sincere devotional service. So when I read this, it just made me think of when you start a new relationship with someone, for example, in this world, you're a little nervous, you don't know them very well, maybe you have doubts, is this person good? Are they for me? I don't know, whatever. So just like with Krishna, when you start getting to know him, you might think, is he really the Supreme Lord of everything? Really? Krishna? I don't know. You have your little doubts. Is he for me? Cute. I don't know. But the more you get to know, the more you're like, oh my God, he's great.
He's pretty rad.
He's my Lord. You know?
That was a really cute analogy. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
He only gets better with time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Just like a relationship only gets better with time.
Some relationships.
Are we talking about Tulsi?
Tulsi and John. All right. Text 8.
Yes. Beautiful.
Shamali. All right. Shamali.
Whoa.
I know we finally made
it. Whenever
Shamali
we get to the third text, it's exciting. Okay. All right. I, Krishna speaking now. We're still on a battlefield, by the way.
to remind ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Oh, this is really sweet. Mm,
this is a very popular verse.
This sounds like
verse.
a love proclamation. Mm-hmm. Should I read? Let me read it again.
Yeah, read it one more time.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
Oh, very sweet.
This connects to the love analogy I made a second ago. He's basically proclaiming his love, like, for us, and we'll love him with all of our hearts.
Sure. I'm the source of the spiritual material world. So everything that we're striving to get to, he's the source of that. And the world that we're in right now, he's the source of that. Everything comes from him. And the people who are smart perfectly know this knowledge and engage in forming that relationship with Krishna and worshiping Krishna with all their hearts. That's so, this is like, this is like Valentine's Day. Like, this is really beautiful.
Valentine's Day is going to become, by the time this is produced, it might be post-Valentine's Day. But Valentine's Day is in the air, pre, post, whatever. Yes.
Whenever you're listening to this, it's a very loving verse.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Oh, I love this.
From Krishna.
From Krishna.
Yeah, not from us. From Krishna. And also the Modern Yogi Podcast. Happy Valentine's Day.
We do not wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day from the Modern Yogi Podcast.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, Prabhupada makes sure to emphasize all Vedic literature talk about Krishna being the source. So this isn't just Prabhupada himself standing alone in a purport saying Krishna is the source. All Vedic literature talks about it. And the next, I mean, I don't know how much you guys want to break down, but the rest of the purport, Prabhupada's quoting all sorts of different purports and texts from the Vedic literatures, the Upanishads, different things in the vast body of Vedic knowledge that support Krishna being the source of all sources, the beginning.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the gist. I mean, Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and mm-hmm. he is called the most efficient cause of everything.
The most Ooh, efficient. I love that.
As a person who loves efficiency, and Krishna's the most efficient cause of anything, what a productive man. What a productive God man. You know what I mean?
That's great.
That's beautiful. Yeah, no, that's great.
There's one part that I love. It sounds poetic. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality. There was no water, no fire, no moon, no heaven and earth, no stars in the sky, no sun. So you guys had just talked about the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
None of that was there before. Wow. Only Krishna. And it says, everything created by me. Oh, it's interesting because you know how we had just talked about the patriarchs, the original people, Brahma, all of the ones that Krishna created. He says, all of them are created by me, though they do not know they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusory energy. Mm. And that's not to degrade them. He's just kind of saying that Krishna then covers them over by his illusory energy, that's willingly covers them over. So they don't even sometimes fully know. And that's why Brahma, when he awoke and he was surrounded by darkness, he became bewildered. What to do?
What the heck? What am I doing here?
Right. So Brahma had to deeply then pray. And then Krishna illuminated his consciousness to know what to do moving forwards. And that's a beautiful lesson for all of us in life.
Gotta pray.
I love that.
All right. Text 9.
Okay.
Like, look at how much I did not highlight here. I didn't even highlight text 9 at all.
No, but I think it's what's beautiful about these verses that we have going on. It talks about that loving relationship, right. and I think we've honed in on this so much in the Gita, and we are going to hone in more because that's the whole point of everything. That's the whole point of this Gita is like understanding that. That personal relationship that we have with Krishna is everything. Mm-hmm. It will always be everything. And like this is, and it's so important to Krishna. These verses show that.
You know, can I ask you guys if there's any moments or examples of what it feels like to connect personally to Krishna? And I'm saying this because recently someone told me, and I liked how they worded this. He said, I feel in my path, I've always connected theoretically to Krishna, but not viscerally. And then I looked up viscerally to double check. I even understood what they were talking about. And viscerally is like experiencing having physically an experience of personal love of God in your life. And I thought, wow, I love that they're taking it so deep because so often we can get caught up with, I don't know, the social aspects of it. I'm going to a festival, so much around me, so much stimulation, so much engagement. I'm in a kirtan, oh, the melody. But are we ever really having... And no, not to, kirtans are so important, so not to take away from that.
No, you can connect or not connect to kirtan.
Right.
It's a choice.
So do we ever really sit with the thought of like, okay, maybe in theory I've connected to Krishna. Like in theory, I've accepted him. Sure, Krishna is God of all gods. Yes, I worship him. But what have we had an experience? I love what I'm watching here. They're fighting to like, no, you go.
No, it was...
You know, it was so crazy. So yesterday, I work with a bunch of doctors and I run different conferences and stuff. And so
Shama lives like 7 lives.
I do. I have like 20 different jobs. Anyways.
She does.
Yeah.
But she does.
multiple streams of income. Okay. So yesterday I was running this conference for doctors at UCLA and it was like an ophthalmology conference and I had to wake up and get there like really early. So I was driving to UCLA around like 6 o'clock in the morning. And usually I don't check my phone too often in the morning, but I did. And I saw this one YouTube short come up on my phone. This is before I started driving. And then I got in the car, I started driving, and then I saw it come up and I was like, well, let me take a look at it. And it was a fictitious, like, it was the Mahabharata, right? Like it was like a TV show and it was showing the scene of like Draupadi, right? And like how she was being disrobed in this court. We talked about this a little bit. And the Pandavas, her husbands couldn't do anything. And then Krishna was holding her sari, right? And it was like a short, like 15 second reel. I'm going to send it to you guys because
We'll post it as a story in Modern Yogi.
And Krishna was holding the sari, right? But what I had never seen before was he was holding it and he was crying as he was holding it. And guys, I like lost, I lost it on the drive. I was on the highway. I was on the 405 and I kept seeing, and like, you know, YouTube shorts, they like go over and over and go, and I would see like Krishna crying, like as he's holding it, holding that sari. And I was crying on the highway. And I felt every bit of like, and then I thought, oh my God, Krishna loves his devote. Oh my God, I'm getting teary. I'm just thinking about it right now. But I was like, Krishna loves his devotees so much. And like, he hurts when we're hurting, you know, he's happy when we're happy, but he's hurt. Like, he hurts when we're hurting. And imagine how much pain he went through when he saw his devotee hurting. Mm-hmm. And I'll send, like, I'll send this to both of you, but mm-hmm. I like cried for like 10 minutes on the highway, on the way. Wow. And like, I don't know, maybe I was on getting my period the next day, but I don't know what it was. But the point is, like, it was just so beautiful. And that was like, I don't have those moments as often, but when I like really dig into like how Krishna feels, I like lose it sometimes. And like, that was just a beautiful moment that I can think of that happened yesterday.
Now, I love that you brought that up, because that so much captures how it's not a one-way experience where we're trying to love Krishna and he's this aloof figure in the sky, like, all right, they're squandering around, they're suffering, whatever. No, he's feeling it. And I've never actually seen him crying, holding, we've all seen the image of him holding it, but I've never seen him crying.
Like, his emotion in that moment, could you imagine how much pain he's going through to see his own devotee suffer like that? I've never seen Krishna cry before.
It gives really good perspective.
Right. Yeah.
It gives perspective to remember what you're saying, Shyamali, like that Krishna is on the other side feeling a lot of feelings about our experiences and wanting for us to go back to him and wanting to have like eternal happiness and everything.
That really makes me get also like, I teary eyed, because thinking of, let's all just sit with, what situations are you carrying right now in your heart, in your mind? What's painful for you right now and what's weighing on you? And then to feel that Krishna's like really just going through that with you and feeling that, and you're not alone on it. I could just also just, we're going to have a cry session.
Oh my God. But you feel it, right?
Like,
if especially knowing that Krishna can feel all of that hurt and like whatever you're going through, like that's such a visceral feeling.
Even when you go to therapy, and I believe in talk therapy, you have to explain to the person what you're feeling. No one is in your heart just like,
understanding you perfectly.
Like, I know, you know, you don't have to try to explain it and be like, no, wait, maybe I didn't say it. Let me try and say it differently. Like, no, Krishna knows. And what a, just, I just feel this lightness all of a sudden infuse my heart, feeling like whatever I've been carrying in there, he's right there with me, feeling it and wanting the best for all of us, you know?
Yep. Wow.
Wow.
I forgot the question. What
was
the question?
That was the best. That was just,
we can move on.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic.
I mean, you covered it all. The question was just, did you ever feel Krishna's love in a personal way? And I love, you said it all. A visceral way. You said it all. I love it.
Thanks. That was really sweet.
Wow.
And really nice. A nice thought to remember.
I need to show you guys this video. It was, I'll show it to you after the episode. Sounds and we'll post it on our stories too.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, chapter 10, text number 9.
Is that me?
Oh my God, we're doing 4?
We're 4?
Wow.
You know what, ladies? I must say, I did not think we'd do 4, and I did not. I normally come over prepared, so this will be a test of, okay, let's do this.
You got this.
We got this.
We got this. We'll go very slow.
Yeah, ready? I got this, guys.
I'm looking for Abhijit to come and tell us time's up and like, oh, let's just squeeze in one more story.
That's okay. I believe in you, you know?
Thanks.
We really do. Yeah. We got this.
Love you guys. Thank you.
It's in your heart. Okay. Let Krishna speak through you. Okay. All right. Trust Krishna. All right.
Yes. Okay.
Priya, take it away.
The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me.
Oh, holy cow. Wait, one more time.
That first line. Okay, read it again. But
first of all, the combination of Shama's story plus this verse is like, whoa. Okay,
it's like
again.
He knew.
It's like he knew.
He always does.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Whew, you ready? Everyone take a deep breath. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me.
I'm getting teary-eyed.
I'm like, really?
Ladies, that first line, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Like, he is telling us there, it's not one-sided. You guys are always on my mind. You're always on my mind.
Oh, yeah, that is really sweet.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. He's also saying, like he's reaffirming what we always say when we get together for this podcast. We are so happy to do this.
Yeah. Mm.
And Krishna's like, yeah, I know.
But even like these conversations about him, like I never walk away from the podcast being like, oh, this is a waste of time with those two girls. Like I always have the best time talking to you two ladies because we're talking about Krishna and like Krishna is bliss, you know? Like if you really let him into your heart and like he brings so much joy, but you have to like let him in though.
Oh my God. You have to let him be the chariot driver of your life.
I love it. That's so real.
Wow. This is really like, I don't know. I know we're all feeling this in sync. Like this is really timely. And you know what? Krishna is also in these serendipitous moments where he knows that the timing of something's going to reach his devotees and we're going to read it at this time. And like, he's just orchestrating everything. So it reaches our hearts in the deepest way.
Yeah.
That's true. In the in-between moments.
And I think like it always like enlightening one another and conversing about me. I think that's why it's so important to build community in Krishna consciousness, wherever you are in the world. And we're so lucky to get DMs from everywhere, South Africa, Singapore, New Zealand, Portugal, like Lebanon, like so many places we get DMs from. And I'm always astounded. And I think that if you can find friends in Krishna consciousness and community and like go out to try to find your local Hare Krishna temple or any mantra lounge or anything that's like organized by the devotees, like really take some time to build friendships there because that is going to be the most powerful thing in your life. Is because when you're talking to your friends about Krishna, like that like makes that bond so strong.
Can I ask you, Shama, because I know Priya and I grew up in communities surrounded by devotees and we've had our own journeys, of course, but you did not. And how was that? Maybe you can speak a little on your own experience, the contrast with growing up not in a community and then what did it feel like finding a community and then furthermore, finding a community you really click with, because many people are not... We're surrounded by a group they resonate deeply with.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest, like when I joined, I was probably maybe like 19, 20. I was like early in college and I kept my worlds very separate. I kept my non-devotee friends very separate and my devotee friends very separate. There's a very strong line between church and state in my life.
Which is very like a normal symptom many people are like in the closet with their Krishna consciousness. It's like the weird thing. Their parents are like, they're into some weird something.
Like to the point where I would see people on Harinam and like walk the other way because I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be associated. But like, no, it's very like, you know what I mean? When you're a kid, you don't know, right? And so like there, I kept things very, very different. But as I got older and deeper in my Krishna consciousness, I found myself, I couldn't relate to my non-devotee friends as much because their priorities were so different than mine, you know? Like they were about sense gratification and partying and drugs and drinking and all that stuff. And like, I was slowly not caring for those things. Right. And I think that the way that I met the devotees, like it was just like real, we talked about real things. You know what I mean? Like no one's just asking about your day and the weather and just these superficial conversations that I would have that have no meaning with my non-devotee friends. When I'm talking to my devotee friends, I'm talking about like, what do you think happens after death? What do you think the meaning of life is? Like, what am I supposed to do with my, like, what is my purpose? Like, I feel like I'm asking questions and they're giving me answers of substance. And I was like, whoa, like these people know what they're talking about. And that's why I just gravitated more and more with the devotees. And what I've realized is that like my devotee friends have been there through the hardest times, you know, like just with genuine compassion. I remember like even just the way that we met, you know, like Priya, I was living in Toronto. Priya had come with a bunch of her friends from Houston. And they were coming to the Toronto Rath Yatra Festival. And like, I didn't know them at the time, but like 10 years later, Priya and I moved to Los Angeles.
At
and
the
like,
same time, the same weekend.
At the same weekend. And we didn't really like, we weren't really strong friends, but like we knew each other.
And then crazy enough, somebody else connected us. Not even the same friends that
Yeah. You know, like
someone
not even
else connected us.
Somebody else was like, yeah. Hey, wow. This person is coming, moving to LA. And I heard you're moving to LA too. And yeah. We were like, what?
All
what
these
are the
things
chances?
Just lining up.
Yeah. Right. And then, yeah. And then we got really, really close. And then the car accident happened. And like, you took care of us. You brought a whole bunch of people who had broken limbs like into your house and you took care of them. And then Shamily, we visited Shamily in the hospital. Like, and then I didn't know Shamily too much before the car accident. But now after the car accident, I feel like we're bonded for life. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because like we went through similar experiences and like the way that devotees care for each other
absolutely.
Was like some next level stuff.
And yeah. I think another great thing about like devotee friendships or just, I guess, maybe more like-minded friendships. I don't want to be, you know, but is that even if you don't have everything in common with them, even if you are different in your interest or quirks or whatever, there is like a underlying connection that you have. You know, whether it's like Krishna consciousness specifically, but there's like something within your heart and their heart. This like Krishna's like, yeah, you guys are meant to be connected, and the conversations are deeper, and the honesty is better. Like everything, the trust, everything builds easier and faster at times when you find the right people.
Yeah.
You know,
so, because you have that foundation of Krishna, right?
Yes.
Right.
The foundation. Like
building on that foundation of Krishna is so much easier than building on a foundation of superficiality. You know what I mean? It's just
and the whole
steeper.
Trajectory of your lives, you're trying to achieve the same end goal, and that's huge. So everything naturally will be similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a temple near you, if you don't have community near you, I think there's Wisdom of Sages that does sage groups, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that, of how people can get involved if they don't have friends in their immediate vicinity?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different like online sanghas. How would you describe a sangha?
A gathering.
Yeah. A gathering of devotees. So the podcast that also is awesome, Wisdom of the Sages, we love them. They have these different, what they call sage groups, where they have different sage group leaders. And my mom and I run one of the sage groups, but you can join different little smaller intimate groups that meet up weekly to continue the discussion of bhakti and of all these different topics that you might hear on our podcast, on their podcast. So the sage groups are awesome online. You can go to Wisdom of the Sages and try and find and sign up for one of the weekly sage groups that go on and just really trying to reach that association.
Yeah. There's another organization type of thing. They're called the Sangha Initiative, and they're more for youth. Youth is roughly related to, like, I think it's like 15 to 30 is what they age wise. But they do all kinds of things together. They go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. They go to India together. Mm-hmm. They do like book clubs. They do gatherings. They do cooking classes.
Wow.
And a lot of these things are online because they're trying to target all of these different people from different states, countries, and all of that. So if you're interested and you're in that age demographic, they have summer retreats. There's also, you know, if you want to find like-minded people, there's the bus tours. They're specifically happening in Europe right now, this summer. And so you can kind of like, just I'm naming some things out to you know, so that you can look into it if you're looking for that community feeling.
Yeah, and if you are a youth that is interested in the Sangha Initiative, you can find more information on Instagram at the Sangha Initiative.
Wonderful.
Another thing that is great, a lot of classes are organized by the Bhakti Center, which is based out of New York City. And you can find them at Bhakti Center on Instagram. And they do a lot of virtual sanghas. They go through different books. They talk about beginning bhakti, intermediate bhakti, whatever sangha that you want to join. They do a lot of virtual classes. They also have classes just for women that's monthly. Which is that called? The Urban Devi?
Yeah.
The Urban Devi. Mm. And so check out at Bhakti Center on Instagram as well, because these things are so important. And what else?
I was going to say another thing is if you're really interested in kirtan, we also have, if you're in the United States, you can go to Sadhu Sangha.
Yeah.
We will all be there this year. So if you want to hang out with us, you can come check us out.
What is it and when is it?
Ooh, it's Memorial Weekend, which is May
24th, 25th, 26th.
Okay. So the weekend of May 24th is Sadhu Sangha. It's happening in Dallas, Texas. And you can probably register at the sadhusangharetreat.com, I believe. So you can just Google it. And yeah, it's a really wonderful experience. It is more kirtan based, but you get a lot of opportunities of seeing a lot of different gurus, which is really cool. And then you get the opportunity to check
hang out with us. Come hang out with us. All three of us will be there. And so we hope
actually
to see
all five of us will be there.
All five of us. Yes. Yeah. Ella, our amazing social media director, and our wonderful producer, Abhijit, will also be there. So you can meet the entire Modern Yogi podcast
crew. And you know what? Okay, so we don't talk about this often, but some of the equipment that we have is actually borrowed. And the two people that let us borrow the equipment will also be there. Shout out to Manu and Sergey.
Yes.
Who are awesome for lending us their cameras so that we can also do video for the reels and stuff.
Yeah. And the point that we're trying to make with all of this and giving you all these different Instagram handles and whatnot is that it's so important to build community and Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And so please, please, please reach out to and make those connections and make those friends and just join those random sanghas.
Yeah, because it's like a wave that carries you. You're not trying to now do it alone and swim against the current of people who are just totally not on the path with you.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap up this
text? I mean, the purport actually brings up a beautiful thing. We can talk about it in the next one or this one about...
Go for it,
Shyamali.
Okay. Lord Chaitanya, who we've mentioned before, he talks about transcendental devotional service like sowing a seed in the heart of the living entity. And the rest of the purport talks about the different stages of this seed growing. Mm. It's really beautiful. Do you guys see that part? So you can kind of chime in. It says... Right there, Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of the seed in a heart in the living entity. Now, this part's so interesting. We've already talked about how many innumerable living entities there are traveling through different planets of the universe. And think how special you listening here are to be listening to this, because out of thousands of innumerable living entities all over the galaxies and dimensions, out of them, there are only a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. And that devotional service is just like a seed. And if it is sown in the heart of the living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
If that happens, that seed fructifies. And just like the seed of the tree fructifies with watering, then the spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows and grows until, boop, it penetrates the covering. Sorry.
Shyamali.
That
is not who you are.
That's not my character type.
Keep going, Shyamali.
I know. That's usually me that laughs at that
Mom.
Stuff.
I just couldn't help it. No, combined with the noise I did, it was horrible.
It's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, Angie, you continue. Made it worse.
It penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the effulgence of the spiritual sky. And then,
sorry,
Shama Sangeeta.
I got you. I'll take over. Don't worry.
Priya, yes. Be the adult here. God.
So what happens, Priya, once it enters the spiritual sky? Because it keeps on growing, right?
Yes, the plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna.
Which is the place and the destination that we are trying to achieve.
Mm. Yes.
Heaven.
And it says, ultimately, the plant, this is so cute, takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and just rests there. And finally, when the plant takes shelter and rests on the Supreme Lord's feet, then we become fully absorbed in love of God. And that person can't live for even a moment without being in contact without the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. So while our plants are growing, for us, it might feel like an endeavor, like, oh, okay, got to chant my rounds. Like it has to, like, we have to try, we have to make that effort, but it's okay. Keep making the effort because the plant will only keep growing. And then it'll become like a fish out of water. Like, oh, I need this. I can't do anything other than this. So really beautiful. Thank you.
Shyamali, that was so beautiful. It got weird for a second, but that was so beautiful. So beautiful.
Thank you.
So connect to a community.
Exactly.
Keep watering your seed.
Yes. Beautiful.
And we'll reach Krishna. Oh,
yes.
I love that.
And next episode, we will tackle chapter 10, text number 10. But thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.